Listening to Cap'n Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap'n Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Yesterday, Justin Fields was spinning it, Hoodie. And the man in charge of the back page for the Sun-Times.
Yes.
Mark Potash. Potsy, is that your bailiwick? Is that what you're in charge of? Who goes on the back page of your paper?
Not today.
I mean, I opened up the Sun-Times and I got the Buffalo News. I don't know what happened there, Potsy.
You know, Trubisky has such a hold on this town. The legacy, it's just amazing. But interesting that the whole thing is about turning the page. But there's still a little bit of, Trubisky just goes a long way. He just has great staying power. So it's June 10th. I'm fine with it. When we get to camp, I think it's going to be pretty much Justin Fields and Andy Dalton all the way on the back page of the Sun-Times.
Oh, because I heard that the editors over there have decided you're moving to Buffalo for the season.
Well, I don't know anything about that, Cap, so I'll have to investigate it. But so I can't really comment on that. Let's put it that way.
don't listen to him, Potsy. Just having a good time looking at the Sun-Times today. I want to get your thoughts about what we know about the Bears in the quarterback position. It seems, though, when we hear from Matt Nagy in the press conference yesterday, that he's excited about what he sees from Fields. What have you learned?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he wants to be true to Andy Dalton. I think the Bears in general don't want to give any impression that they are kind of pulling the rug out from under Andy Dalton or have any intention of that, even though I think it's a fluid situation and this thing can change. And that's the one thing, I guess the one distinction I would make comparing this situation to 2017 is that the Bears, I think, are going to be a little bit more open-minded as things happen. Not now, but as things happen, they're going to be a little bit more open-minded to getting the best quarterback in there, whether it's week one, week three, week four, whatever. So I wouldn't read too much into exactly what they're saying or in general what they're saying, because, I think they want to be fair to Andy Dalton. This is a situation that, they knew could happen, but it was a little bit unusual to get this good of a quarterback after signing Dalton. So, like I said, when you hear that, that they're set on Dalton being number one, I get that. I just think, like I said, I think in their heart of hearts, I think they're open-minded to this being a fluid situation as we get into camp.
So as you watch this team, do you feel a different vibe around the Bears? I know the Trubisky thing always kind of hung over them because of what Mahomes and Watson became and what Mitch didn't become. Does it feel different up there?
Camp, we don't get close enough to the Bears to get any kind of feel of any kind of vibe up there. Our vantage point is very poor, although it was, I guess, a little better yesterday. But to answer your question, there's no doubt there's a different vibe about the Bears. I don't know if you necessarily feel it, when you're out there. It's just not, they're just not doing enough now to, it's just, it's all cursory kind of at this point. So I can't say that, but there's no doubt that Fields, if you're comparing it to Trubisky in 2017, which was also an excitement, as you know, Cap, there's no comparison. This is more like people feel like it's the real thing, and it doesn't mean that it is, but it's just so much better. And I go back to what I did right after the draft, comparing draft night grades of the Bears pick Trubisky versus Fields. And Trubisky, all the experts even then were kind of pouring cold water on it. It was all B's and C's and even D's. It was not a popular pick. And Fields was at least half of them were A-pluses, which is like, you know, that's their way of saying this is beyond expectations. So to me, that's a perfect illustration of just how much better people feel about this pick. So to answer the question, yeah, the vibe is different. But I can't say that I can feel that like when I'm out there on the field watching them, because we're just that close enough, literally. And also, they're just not doing enough to get that feel. Camp will tell that tale, and I'm sure that's what will ensue.
Mark, when we take a look at the offense, just in your gut, knowing that Tariq Cohen is back and you have Darnell Mooney, Robinson, do you feel like the offense could be better just based on personnel?
Well, yeah. I mean, almost have to be better. But yeah, I think they will be better. I think their offensive line, I think, is the key. And I just think, you know, just having James Daniels back is a key. I think... I just think they're going to be better there, and I think that's going to make for a better offense. Also, Matt Nagy is theoretically going to be better after I think he's learned some lessons himself. I don't think there's enough focus on his learning curve, because he came in as a rookie coach and as a rookie coordinator, and I think he's learning. So, yeah, I think they will be better. How much better, we don't know. They haven't proven anything, so it's really hard to say. But, yeah, based on weapons, I guess, and I think just like I said, the offensive line, I think they will be better. The question is it going to be good enough to make Andy Dalton better? Because that's really what they need. Andy Dalton, like I said, is like a Nick Foles kind of guy where he doesn't really make the offense good. The offense makes him good, and so they're going to have a good offense to make him an upgrade over Foles. Let's put it that way.
Well, let's just take a look at it just bit by bit, though. When you look at the offense, and we know the quarterback is important, we all know that. I'm just saying that with Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery, when we talk to Nagy, he says that running the football is essential. I'll believe it when I see it. You saw the Bears really get married to the run, I think, toward the middle to the late part of the season. So we'll see if they come out running with Montgomery and Cohen. And then we already talked about Robinson and Mooney as wide receivers, along with Anthony Miller, guess still on the team.
Yep.
Anthony Miller, right?
Yep.
And so I'm interested in seeing what the tight end spot looks like. Like, Komet gets more of the lion's share of the catches this year over Graham. I don't know how that looks. But as you mentioned, Mark, the offensive line also will tell a great story. I said to Cap, I said, okay, if Tevin Jenkins is going to be the left tackle, he's got to learn on the job. Daniel's coming back, white hair. And then on the right guard, Bars. And we like Bars and Mustafa. I think they were nice for the time being last year. Now we'll see how these guys, and then Nefeti's back. So we'll see how that works out. I think that it's a positive just based on personnel. I don't know how much of a positive, but it seems better from a depth chart standpoint.
Well, I think seems better is probably the key phrase,
yeah.
Because there are a lot of question marks. For one thing, it's questionable whether you're better with Tevin Jenkins at left tackle as opposed and having a Fetty at right tackle. I mean, Charles Leno, he was a pretty good, average, above average left tackle. It is questionable whether you're better with Leno out and Tevin Jenkins in at least this year. Another thing you have to look at is a lot of what they did last year, the going to the run and all this improvement, that was done against some pretty poor defenses. So they still have to prove that they can do it against really the better teams on their schedule. And so there's that factor too. But I think going back, it all goes back to what, you know, you kind of hinted at it earlier, is Matt Nagy figuring it out. And I think this has been a difficult thing for him with the run, where, you know, even going back to what, 2 years ago now, when he ran the ball, we almost like forced him to run the ball against, I think it was the Chargers. And then he said, yeah, I'll do whatever I have to run the ball. And then he never did. I think there's a learning process there where now he knows what he's got to do. We haven't seen it yet, but my point is, I think he's learning as well what he has to do to win and what he can do. And I think that's as important as anything, because until Justin Fields gets in there, you really don't have one player who's going to make a big difference. And so you need the offense. It's on Nagy to coordinate an offense that can put all these pieces together. And frankly, we just haven't seen it yet. So it's all just like you said, you know, it seems to be better. Mm-hmm. It should be better. But a lot of that is the low bar. And a lot of that is just our constant chronic hope for things to get better.
We're talking to Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. Potsy, today, and again, this could change. There could be a, another cut. There could be another addition. But basically, this is the team they're going to post with. Is this a 9-10 win football team? Is this the number in Vegas? I was in Vegas last weekend. You can find the Bears over-under in a 17-game season at 7. What is this team to you?
I don't think we know. I think that is the whole point of the Bears. They are one of those 8-8 teams in the NFL that can go way up or actually way down if this defense, you know, doesn't get back on track. So I'm not trying to avoid. I guess I am trying to avoid the question. I'm just saying I don't think they are defined. I think they're one of the most undefined playoff teams in the NFL because they have, especially with Fields, they have a wide variance this year. So you can't really make any predictions at this point. We don't really see anything to really know. There's just way too many moving parts, you know, to make any kind of predictions or even analysis of where they are. It's all conjecture at this point, frankly. From my vantage point, maybe the guys who watch film know more. I don't. I just go by the eye test, and I just think I think they're just a very undefined team with a lot of potential, but potential to go either way.
Okay, so what about defensively? We know what the depth chart's going to look like there. Eddie Goldman's back for this upcoming season. There are too many opposing quarterbacks with their jersey that was too clean. I just expected a lot more hurries, a lot more sack production. So what is your outlook for the defense based on what we've seen the last couple of seasons?
I think Sean Desai will be a positive upgrade. No offense to Chuck Pagano. I think that Sean Desai will end up being a positive upgrade. I think he'll be also have the advantage of some timing with, you know, Goldman being back, I think, is better than Fuller being out. I think that's an overall positive. I think Goldman being back makes Desmond Trufant a better cornerback and much closer to what you got out of Fuller. It makes Jalen Johnson better. It stops the run. It creates more down and distance advantages for the defense. I think they're going to have a comeback year. Will they reach what they were in 2018? I don't think so. I don't think they ever can. That was pretty spectacular. But I think they will get back to where they were. I think having just some young blood in Desai, a newcomer, a guy who has some new ideas, and is a pretty bright guy who probably, I think, knows where the mistakes have been made. I think the defense will be better. I don't think they have a long shelf life, to tell you the truth. I think defenses get old quickly, but I still think they're still in their prime, and I think they'll have a comeback season with regard to attacking the quarterback and taking the ball away.
Hey, last thing, Matt said that his entire coaching staff is all fully vaccinated, but there are players. Montez Sweat was saying yesterday in Washington, I'm not sure I'm getting this thing. I don't know if I'm doing this. Have any players up there openly talked about it at all?
Yeah, we asked players yesterday about being vaccinated, and I can't remember who exactly said what. Cole Kmet did not comment on it, you know. Other players have said, I think, I can't remember, maybe it was Mooney who said he got one shot. I shouldn't say his name, I guess, but somebody got one shot, is getting the other. But I guess they're getting there, but, you know, it's the same old thing. I mean, you know, guys just it's a difficult situation. The only thing that confuses me about it is the guys who are kind of on the fence. If you're looking for information at this point, I don't know. I think that's pretty ignorant. I think you should know by now whether you're either going to get it or you're not. If you don't want to get it, I guess that's okay. I mean, that's your choice. But if you do, but this idea that, well, I'm still looking to get information, just either get it or don't. So it is a topic. I don't know how much of a topic it is, like in the locker room and stuff like that. I guess that's a question I would like to have asked, is how much of an issue do they feel it is? But, you know, the coaching staff feels it's pretty important, and they're doing all they can. Teams are doing. That's kind of what started that whole thing in Washington. Teams are doing all they can to inform their players and kind of convince their players that this is the right thing to do, get vaccinated. But just the way things are in general, and for football teams just in the country, it's just hard to convince people who don't, you know, who almost don't want to be convinced.
Yeah, Sam Darnold came out yesterday. Sam Darnold said yesterday, I'm not vaccinated. So
right.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Potsy, thanks, man. You're the best.
Okay, guys. Good talking to you. Thanks for having me on your show.
You got
it. Yes, sir.
Have a great day. There he is. Mark Potash, Chicago Sun-Times.
You know what the problem is, Cap, is that for Mark Potash or Wiederer or whoever else is covering the team, it's a damn shame that they can't be right there with the team to give you the quotes and give you some insight. It's not their fault. this is on either on the Bears or the National Football League, for them to be covering the team in Deerfield when it's supposed to be in Lake Forest is nonsense.
Correct. And you say that facetiously, but they are that they're like 1,000 yards.
I've seen the video.
Yeah.
They're a million miles away. Like how are you supposed to give us the information as fans to know what's going on there day by day with the camp, to try to learn about the team, learn about the players individually, what's on their mind?
Correct.
How are you supposed to have a connection with the team when you're that far away?
Good point. 312-332-3776 is the number to our show. One-star first baseman in MLB is in favor of letting pitchers use substances on the ball. We'll tell you what he said next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
So, Pete Alonso, a really good player. What do you have, 52 bombs 2 years ago?
Yes.
That guy can flat out rake. And he is going to get paid when he hits free agency or if the Mets get him extended with their new ownership.
He's going to get what now?
Paid.
Oh, okay.
Big.
All right.
Big. Big paper.
All right.
But he was also asked, Hoodie, about the sticky stuff. His thoughts, is MLB policing sticky stuff correctly?
Oh, absolutely not. I think that I don't think so, because for me, I think that since the start of the game, pitchers have been using substances. I mean, there's a bag of rosin behind the mound right now to help guys dry their hands and get grip. For me, I think whether they're using pine tar rosin, bullfrog or sunscreen and rosin or whatever they want to use to help control the ball, let them use it. Because for me, it's like I go in the box every single day and I see guys throwing harder and harder every day. And I don't want 99 slipping out of someone's hand because they didn't have enough feel for it. I think that the biggest concern is that Major League Baseball manipulates the baseballs year in and year out, depending on the free agency class, or guys being in an advanced part of their arbitration. So I do think that's a big issue, the ball being different every single year. With other sports, the ball's the same, like basketball, football, tennis, golf, like ball's the same. So I think that's the real issue with the changing of the baseballs. And maybe if the league didn't change the baseball, pitchers wouldn't need to use as much sticky stuff, because for guys that feel the ball and throw the ball every single day, and for it to change every single year, it's not fair to the people who are using it every single day and throwing it. So for me, I would rather them have control. I don't care what they use. I mean, for me, I use pine tar when I go to hit. I have a lizard skin. I have batting gloves. Like, I have the most advantage when it comes to holding on my bat. So I wouldn't care, because on our on-deck bag, we have pine tar rag, a pine tar stick, like a special sticky spray, rosin. I mean, you name it, we have it. I mean, I wouldn't care if they had that behind the mound to help hold onto the ball, because when we start getting into these hotter months, guys start to sweat, and let's say if they lose a fastball arm side, I mean, we all saw what happened to Kevin Pillar, and that's scary. And we're lucky that he only had a broken nose, and I mean, it could be a lot worse depending on where it hits a guy. I mean, 100-mile-an-hour fastball, even though you're wearing a helmet, that's scary. So I'd rather have guys have as much stick as possible and focus on throwing the ball in the box as opposed to taking it away from them.
So? I understand his point, where I'd rather have them be able to control what they're doing. Again, it's just such a fine line of, yes, they're able to get a little more control. The ball's not slipping out of their hands. Guys are throwing harder than ever. Guys don't have great command as it is because they're bigger, they're stronger, almost too big and strong at times.
Sure.
But we're seeing guys make the baseball do things that make the game boring when you're sitting there going, Okay, you haven't seen a ball in play in 7 minutes. Can we please have some action here?
Well, Alonzo said in that soundbite we just heard, he says, I have no problem with the pitchers using it. Let them use it because there's a feel for the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And the league, he says, this wouldn't happen if the league didn't change the baseball. I like for Jeff and Tyler and you to just come around here to Uncle Hoodie, and I'll tell you the story about the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys need to understand.
Okay, we'll gather around, Hoodie.
Yeah, Tyler, come on over. I know you're not interested, but I want you to come over anyway and listen
fake
to the
story. Fake it at least, Tyler.
Yeah, at least fake it, Tyler. I mean, you've done that. Put a brave face on.
Tell us the story, Uncle Hoodie.
Uncle Hoodie will tell you about the baseball, and I will say this, and then Cap will remember this story. So the baseball, there was a time in the 70s and the 80s where the umpires used to be able to utilize Delaware mud. Delaware mud was there to darken the baseball. In Cap's era, the baseball was not white. It had a little bit of a sheen to it where it was darker. The baseball you see today is pearl white, if you notice that, until someone put sticky stuff on it. But there was always, the balls were always rubbed up, usually by the umpires. In today's baseball, the umpires don't rub up the baseballs. It could be 100 baseballs, and the umpires would be there in the locker room rubbing it up with that Delaware mud, right? Because now you have more of a feel on your hands if you're a pitcher. But nowadays, now they tell the locker room attendant, hey, rub up these baseballs, and they're not the way they used to be. If you see the baseball today, in 2021 in baseball, it's pearl white. It's absolutely white. There is nothing. It's like going to the sporting goods store and getting that baseball, maybe a little bit, but not like it used to be. You remember this, right?
I do.
The umpires rubbing up the baseball,
well,
sitting
the
in the locker room.
Came from a particular area.
Delaware.
Delaware River. My grandparents live right on that river, and I would take my kayak out and try to find the people digging up the sludge.
So there you have it.
Right.
So there is a difference because now, back in your day, Cap, or when I was a kid, I'm watching the baseball and I'm seeing the baseball not white, but there was something on it where the pitcher's like, okay, well, there's enough mud on this thing where I could be able to have control. And that's the difference.
Yeah, because when you get a fresh baseball, even in the league I play in, you get the game ball to start. It's slick.
Yes.
You got to use some spit, and you got to kind of rub it up so it doesn't slip out of your hands.
The baseball is not supposed to be the baseball that you get from the sporting goods store. It's not supposed to be that simple. It's supposed to be rubbed up. All the highlights, all the baseball games, I remember watching, you know, catching a baseball at Comiskey or getting one. It's like, this baseball is not even like the one I play with at home, because the one I play with at home is from the sporting goods store.
It's pearl white.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Correct.
And so now you talk about the baseball in 2021 as we just heard in that soundbite. Alonzo says, "Well, baseball changed they changed the way the ball is." That's what he said in the soundbite.
Okay, and in there, he, as you just said about manipulating the baseballs, he says it's because of upcoming free agency.
I hadn't heard until you mentioned it, the idea that they do it based on free agent class. Is that something that players talk about and believe in?
Oh, no, that's a fact. It's not. Guys have talked about it, but in 2019, there's a huge class of free agent pitchers. And then that's quote unquote the juice balls. And then 2020 was a strange year with the COVID season. But now that we're back to playing a regular season with a ton of shortstops or position players that are going to be paid a lot of money, like high caliber players. It's not a coincidence. And I think that's definitely is something that they do.
How about that? That is definitely something that they do.
Stretch.
I think it's a stretch. I absolutely think it's a stretch.
Because so much baseball out there. How do you know? You know, pick and choose the ones that are in free. I don't understand.
Correct.
I don't understand that logic.
Great players are still going to have big numbers. They are. They're going to put numbers up.
Well, and to that point, like I'll entertain some crazy ideas out there, but the reality is that the problem is that Major League Baseball is manipulating baseballs, and they don't always know what the hell they're going to get. They don't know what the end result is. But when you say the owners are doing it based on who the big-name free agents are going to be this upcoming year, like, for instance, he said, you know, in 2019, I assume he's referencing the fact that Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg were both probably the highest sought-after free agents in that class, mm-hmm. and that was the year that the Super Bowl, the juiced ball, was in play. Well, the problem is Gerrit Cole still got a monster contract. Steven Strasburg still got a monster contract. And so even though, like, you know, you think Gerrit Cole was going to get 300 and more than 324 if the juice balls weren't in play that year. I mean, he got $324 million.
No, I think that's a complete stretch paid. By him. Yeah, I get it. But what he said there was a stretch. It's not because of free agency. That's I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't believe
answer.
There's some group of Harvard wizards sitting in a room and Rob Manfred goes, here's the list of the free agents this year. And then they look, they go, all right, loosen the baseball up because you're going to have to pay too
Trevor
much.
Story, Carlos Correa, Javi Baez are up for free agency this year, boys. We better deaden that baseball and make sure they have bad years.
Correct.
All I know is that baseball is turning back to your era when you were a kid, when you were 7 or 8 years old, right? All right, like, as a kid, you still love baseball, Cap, but you were seeing a lot of 2-1, 3-2 games. You did see the era of the pitcher.
You did.
You saw Bob Gibson and Fergie and those guys dominate, didn't you?
Yes, but you also saw a lot of guys get roughed up. The great ones were great.
Yeah.
So, all right, 312-332-3776. We have a dilemma in our parking garage. Jonathan Hood will explain. You may have the same dilemma. It's next.
Take that.
Cap, J Hood.
Our new morning show. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Over there.
There's nothing more old man than not being able to remember your Amazon password.
I couldn't. I got an email while we were in break, and I can't remember the freaking password. There's it's all logged in normally. This is like a community computer.
I understand.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, Cap. Either it's not important to do now, or you're going to have to put this in your phone of like a list of passwords. You know, that's in your phone.
I have all of them.
Okay.
We were coming back, and I thought I knew it.
I need it now. This is a good deal. Value. 20% off. Damn it.
He's hoping if he gets the order in soon enough, Hoodie, that the package will be there when he arrives home today from the radio show.
Damn it.
11:30.
Damn it. Like, come on, man. You only have a few tries before they lock you out.
I think I've already reached.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
Did you try Studley?
I did not. I did not. Anyway.
Come on. We
have a dilemma in our parking garage.
You'll get the value. You'll get the package at some point. You just got to wait. Just be patient. You're so impatient.
Anyway.
I need it now. Amazon, help me. Ask Mindy. She knows what it is. Just reach out to her.
I'll call her and break. Mindy, what's the password to Amazon?
She's in an important high-level meeting, and yeah, honey. The password for Amazon. I'm in a meeting. Just wanted to know. 3% off. Hurry. Just wait. I mean, you locked yourself out. The whole
code
break.
Is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
Now. No. Come on. We got a show to do. That Amazon will wait.
Anyway.
You were saying.
You were in our parking garage. You park on a particular floor, the same floor every day.
Yes.
I park on a particular floor, and there's not assigned spots.
No.
The only people that get assigned spots are Mike, our boss, and Zetterman, because he stole a former employee's assigned spot.
Stole? That's good to know. All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Right? Am I exaggerating?
Did he steal?
I would say Danny, and it's not even Danny's spot as much as he gets in here first. So he has dibs on it. You know, he's the one who rolls in here earlier than everyone else. So that's why he gets it.
Right. So he pilfered those are more expensive spots.
Uh-huh.
He pilfered it.
I see.
You and I are way up high.
Yeah. 11, 12.
And
the sky. I say hello to God every morning. Shake hands with him. That's how
high. Are you?
that's how high I am.
It takes 2 hours to get from the top all the way to the bottom. Got a show. Let's go.
Oh, man.
By the way, Hoodie and I, 99.9% of the time, we walk out together.
Yep.
And we were walking to the elevator.
Sidebar.
The other day. Sidebar, mm-hmm. May I approach?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Brought to you by Kenneth Allen Law. I opened the door to, like, the little, what would you call that? The little lobby part.
Lobby, yes.
And we have monthly passes.
Yes.
but there's the machine where you pay if you're like a daily parker.
Yes.
And the doors to one of the, there's two elevators.
Mm-hmm.
The door to one of them, out of nowhere, we haven't even hit the button yet.
No.
Opens. And there's this guy, all you see is him from
like the chest
his sternum up.
Yeah.
And he's in a socks hat. He's standing in the elevator shaft.
But he's at the bottom, though. He's on the floor, right? You don't see his whole body. You just see kind of like, you know, Adam's family, you rang. He just comes out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. In a socks hat.
And we're looking down. This is the elevator that hasn't worked for 5 months, by the way, 6 months. And we're just looking down, and it just opens out of nowhere. You rang. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Yeah, what's up?
What are you doing down there, Sox fan?
It startled the hell out of us.
Because we had no idea. Like, we didn't know that it was even going to open or work. And that guy, just you could barely see him. Looked like a little creature down there.
Did.
I was like, what the hell are you doing down there? Just trying to fix the spring in this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So could you see the car at all? Or was he just in the shaft and the car was...
He was just in the shaft and the car was like right above him.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you saw... the upper portion was the car, right. And then below in the shaft was
his head.
His head. Barely his shoulders. It opens up and it's like a little guy down there. We thought he was a Martian.
We did.
Just like, what the hell's going on there?
And then I said, hey, he's in a Sox hat.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Like, do you have shoulders and hands? Do you have a body?
It was the creepiest thing when that door opened.
You just saw the bottom of it. You didn't see, like, the full body. It was just the guy at the bottom, at the floor of the thing. You just saw his little socks cap, and he was there trying to fix stuff. He's working.
Right. So it wasn't even half and half. The car was actually probably two-thirds to three-fourths of terms of your vision, what you could actually see.
Yes. Right.
And then his head just below it.
Yeah, that's just awesome. Popping up.
Hey, how's it going?
You rang.
Yeah.
Yes, Lurch, I like to have a cup of tea. Like, he came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
This is like,
and
what?
Then he says, oh, I'll have this thing fixed today. You'll be good to go tomorrow because with only one elevator, sometimes there's a wait.
Yes.
And the next day, that elevator was working. And then 2 days later, not so much. And now it's been several days,
yes.
And that elevator is still blocked off with a garbage can.
Yes, because that's class.
Yeah. It's official. Days, makes it more official.
During COVID-19, that's class. Just put a garbage can in front of it.
Put a dirty garbage can in front of that door. Can't use that one.
Rat-infested garbage can. Just keep the doors open.
Yeah, exactly.
Until Lurch comes from the bottom there again.
Exactly.
You rang.
Parts on back order from Germany.
It's unbelievable how much it takes. I used my Amazon password 10 times. And I couldn't get the part.
Code is Studley. We're fine.
So anyway, you're in the garage on your floor, and you notice that some jackaloon decides he wants his car to take up two spots so that he feels like he's got a safe space around him.
I saw this truck, and it's on Cap J Hood on Instagram and Twitter. I want people to be able to see how this guy parked. He's got his big truck there, and he's taking up two spaces. You tell me. Like, I think he could fit in one space. Clearly, he doesn't want to get dinged by another car, but there's a way for you to park. You can park other places to make sure that your truck's not dinged. Now, I know a lot of our listeners drive trucks, whether it's for work or because it's convenient for their home or whatever. How do you handle parking in these spaces? Because taking two spaces, the way he parked, is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, it's a pickup truck. It's not like a huge truck. It's a pickup truck.
Right.
It's a Chevy Silverado or a Ford F-150 or whatever it is.
So you tell me and tell us, like, how do you handle parking? Because have you gotten dinged often? Do you take up two spaces? Because I just think that anybody that takes up two spaces just because it's just a jag. No question about it. Like, just flat out a jag. Now, we have other examples of this even with small cars, too, where they're back their way, they're butterfly their way in.
Correct.
And, I mean, that's not right either.
No.
Like, I want to be able to have my spot. I've got between the yellow line and to be able to put my car in right there perfectly. The technology in today's cars where you actually have the rear view mirror, you have, like, the little replay box there, right?
Right.
There.
It shows you if you're in the lines.
Yes. So you can be able to do it perfectly now. As Meller always tells you, because you have technology, it's easier to do anything, including cooking on YouTube. You can do anything that you want because of technology, right?
We all should be five-star chefs. Absolutely.
That's what he always says. So, I mean, just the way some of these people park, like, dude, you can't take two spots. And if you do take two spots, especially in the city, maybe you won't have a windshield when you come back.
Well, some of them don't even pull all the way into the spot. So the ass end of the car is sticking out. I'm like, really? So my friend Sarah Lauk, yes, who works for NBC, Sarah has taken it upon herself over the last few years. She takes a photo of anyone that parks like a jackass.
Yeah.
And tweets it out with their license plate.
Oh, too. With the license plate. Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, playing the role of defense attorney here, I'm not saying I advocate this type of behavior, but playing the role of defense attorney, I would ask the question, because it is a big truck, are they doing other people a favor? Because if they do pull into one, if they try and squeeze into one spot, are they making it more difficult on other parkers because they won't have room to open their door if they park next to this person? Do you think that's possible, Hoodie?
I would, if I knew it was going to be a tight squeeze all the way around, I'd park to the top.
Like all the way, go way. I think that's a fair point.
I agree. Because I think some of the spaces are wider, and if they're not, look, man, if it's early in the morning or if it's late at night, no one's parking those spots. If I park up top, I think I could get away with it than parking at level 3, level 2. Now you're just being a bad guy. It's like, I'm just going to pull in because I'm bigger than you, if you'll pardon the expression.
All right, check out the picture on our Twitter account, at CapJHood. CapJHood. Yeah. Is that a bad guy?
Yeah. Do you own a truck, you know, like a pickup truck like that? How do you handle that?
312-332-3776.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter, at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
So, if you checked out our Twitter page, is that guy a jag, how he parked?
Yeah, we're talking about this guy in our parking structure that's got this big truck, and he parks across two spaces.
Correct.
So, I'll ask you guys, like, what is more annoying? Is it that guy that parks across two spaces, or the person that you know is not handicapped taking a handicapped spot? Because there's a lot of them.
It's like,
you've been that guy?
Never.
The handicap spot?
Never. No. Never. I think that's so offensive.
I agree.
So offensive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how you could, in good conscience. I'll be honest with you. I knew a guy that I worked with, and he had a parent who had a handicap placard.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they call it, a placard?
That's correct.
And the parent passed away. He put the placard in his car. And I said to him one day, we were walking, he's getting in his car, and I'm going to mine. I'm like, are you handicapped? And he's like, no, it was my mom's. And when she passed, I took it. And I said, dude, when you go park somewhere, what about a really handicapped person?
Yes.
You're an ass.
Yes.
And our relationship kind of went the other way. I called him out on it, and he didn't like that. Yeah.
I mean, the follow-up question is, what kind of scumbag are you?
Right.
What level of scumbag are you?
Pretty big one, I think.
like, that tells me all I need to know about your character. Like, really?
So, we look at this truck, and so, you know, you could just tell, Meller, I mean, I think we've done a lot of these poll questions over the years. You could just tell that the Russian bots are involved here, because we can't get 100%.
No.
We can't get 100% yes. Like, everybody that we could talk to say that this person is wrong, right? 4% say that, no, this is not a bad guy. So you can just tell that the international interference is in this particular poll question.
Right.
You get 100% on anything on a poll question.
No, yeah, you can't. 4%. Are 4% out there actually just owners of big trucks, and they're like, you know what? Like, Jonathan Hood doesn't understand the plight of owning a big truck, trying to find a spot to park in. I think those people are mad at you that you're not being more empathetic to big truck owners out there, Hoodie.
I wonder how big truck owners feel, too. And then we've got this website, carbuzz.com. I sent this to you, Cap, as you were trying to get your Amazon password together. I sent you carbuzz.com.
Oh, I saw it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You saw this, that someone is a vet owner. Now, let me tell you on the south side, sidebar, on the south side, the first few days that we got warm weather, the Corvette club was out up and down Stony Island. We're talking about 20. Like, you're just driving along, all of a sudden you see 20 Corvettes going right past the Corvette
with
club.
Their top off.
Like, oh God. Like we're in a Corvette club. They're all going down Stony trying to get to the Dan Ryan. Like, that's crazy. But this Corvette here in this picture is taking up two spaces. Now, you know, a guy like me would see that and taking two spaces, and I would probably get my truck right there next to his door there.
Yeah, except in today's times, who knows what that maniac does?
You scared of him?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't need that in my life. I do not. Now, Peter, who's a P1 of ours, Peter Andriotis, he's a good Greek man, now lives in Miami. He said in Greece.
Yes.
This guy's car, at best, would have taken a scratch. At worst, they would have taken the tires off it.
In Miami?
Yeah. In Greece.
In Greece?
Okay. Yeah.
Taking the tires off of it.
Right.
Wow.
But who knows? I don't want some road rage guy going at me.
You're going to, it looks like it says Twin Liquors here, or either the Yoga Chiropractic in English. Place.
Tough word there.
Yeah, well, first day with my new tongue. So he's going to this yoga place or this Twin Liquors place, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to either one of those, but he's taking up two spots. It's crazy.
Crazy. Real fast, Jesse in Evanston. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Sup.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, I had a good time at that golf outing. That was a blast. And I saw you a bunch of times, Cap, sat next to you while we were eating pretty much, and never freaking said congratulations on the Hall of Fame, brother.
I appreciate you. Thanks, man.
I was kicking myself. And Hood, I never ran into you, man. I never got to meet you. I was kind of bummed about that.
His driver that was taking him around had him in other places.
Gotcha. Hey, here's a real quick handicapped one. I think it's complete garbage if somebody pulls that handicap. I was dating a girl for about a month, and I picked her up, you know, for the first month, I would pick her up, and it got around, my car was in the shop or something, I don't remember, but she picked me up, and we went out to dinner, and she thought it was cool, and she pulled that handicap sticker out and stuck it right there and parked right in front. I was so embarrassed, I couldn't take it. I pretty much broke it. That was a deal breaker for me. With her.
It's awful.
It's just a bad character look. Jesse, thanks,
man.
It's
bad karma, man. If you have any sort of karma in your body, you don't do that kind of stuff.
Agreed. Karma is a bitch. Thanks, Jesse. All right. The Cubs are not at MLB's 85% vaccination threshold for Tier 1 employees, coaches, the sports staff that works with them. White Sox are at the protocol. One very well-known Cubs fan is not happy about it. You'll hear from him, and we'll discuss it next. 2 minutes.
Practic.